I'll try, Brother Dennis, honest. Thank you, Jesus. I want to thank the Lord tonight for His blessings, and I want to thank Him for this opportunity tonight. And if you have your Bibles, I want to just get right into the Word. And if you ever hear me teach or preach much, you're going to know that I'm going to stick with the Word. And you can argue with Sister Erin, but when you go to arguing with the Word, you've got a formidable opponent. And so you're going to find out I've got a lot of Scripture tonight. And if you will turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, and I do hope that you have your Bibles with you. That's your sword. Thank you, Jesus. Now I'll start with verse 1. This is the second epistle, beloved. I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandments of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. And finally, in verse 5, for this they willingly are ignorant of. And I'd like to stop right there. For this they willingly are ignorant of. Dear Heavenly Father, I just ask you, Lord, tonight, Lord, as you told us to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So, Lord, I've done all my studying. Father, I have prayed and I have sought your face. And now, Lord, I just put this in your hand. Lord, I'm asking you, Father, Lord, for the anointing, the unction of your Holy Spirit. Lord, not only to flow through me and to me, Lord, but, Lord, that you'll move in this congregation of your people that are called by your name. Father, Lord, that you'll stir up our pure minds by way of remembrance. Lord, help us, Lord, to hold on to the faith, Lord, that you've given us, Lord, because we believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, is soon to come, Lord, and we want to be ready, Father. Lord, I ask for your anointing. I ask for the moving of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Y'all may be seated. Thank you, Jesus. My podium is not very big. Amen. They got me spoiled at Partridge because we've got one that's like this and it's got a little section right down there. So, praise the Lord. When Brother Ted called me and asked me if I would minister tonight, immediately, and I know you all do the same thing that bring forth, that preach, immediately I began seeking the Lord. And just within a short time, the Lord laid something on my heart. Even as I was just walking the floors in my house just praying. And I don't know how it works for you all, but many times when I'm in prayer, God will drop a message in my heart. Amen. And as I was praying, I found myself saying something. And I was praying about the soon coming of the Lord. I was praying about His people. And suddenly it dawned on me, I found myself saying, Lord, this is something that they are willingly ignorant of. That caught my attention. And this is why I brought this scripture. I know that we've heard all of our lives that Jesus is coming soon. Since we're knee-high to toad frogs. But the fact is, we've heard it so much, have we lost sight of it? We've heard it so much, and life, Brother David, has continued on. It seems like nothing has happened. It seems like nothing has changed. And now, do we really believe that Jesus Christ can soon come? And are we ready for His soon coming? That is the burden that the Lord... Now, I don't know what the others have been preaching about. And it really doesn't matter to me. Because as old timers, you say, I've got to deliver my soul now. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So if you will, let's turn back in your Bibles to the first part of this chapter. And I've noticed that the first part has to do with a warning about scoffers. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Peter, speaking to the church then, said, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." He was not disputing that they were children of God. He said, but I want to stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. Because, like I said, sometimes we can get so caught up with our everyday living that we lose sight of the important thing. The important thing is the soon coming of Jesus Christ and being ready. It says that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers walking after their own lust. I think the thing that really blew me away in that prayer that day was the fact that when I read that, I'm used to Sister Turner thinking of the people out in the world being the scoffers. I'm used to it being sinners being the scoffers. But the Lord laid on my heart, it wasn't them that was the scoffers. It was the church people now. We no longer truly believe that Jesus is coming soon. If we did, our lives would be lived different than what they are now. Amen? And it just blew me away. Peter said distinctly. Now, I know a lot of times when we read the Bible, we think of it happening back then, almost 2,000 years ago. And so we think, well, I've heard people say the word's not relevant to us today. But he didn't say that it would just happen then, even though it did. But he said, this know that in the last days. Church, we're living in those last days. He said there would be scoffers. That word means there's mockers that rise up in this last day. Even Paul in 1 Timothy 4:1 gave a warning. He said, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, distinctly, that in the latter times, there it is again, last days, the latter times, some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Giving heed, paying attention to seducing or deceiving spirits. Church, I have never, like I have these days, heard so much wrong doctrine out there. And I see it be taking hold. I like to talk about these sacred namers. And I don't, you know, if you're caught up in saying the sacred name Yahweh and stuff like that, as long as you keep hold of the pure gospel, you're okay. But these sacred namers are getting so caught up in the letter of the law that they're trying to teach Gentiles that we're supposed to be living under the old law. They're also telling us that there's no rapture getting ready to take place.
Come on.
And people are listening to this. I hear, well, big name ministers anymore. They don't say the name Jesus.
Come on.
No, they say Yeshua. They say Jehovah. It's not God the Father. It's not Jesus Christ the Son, because they want to be, can I say, maybe politically correct? Look, I'm not looking to be politically correct.
Amen.
But the Bible says in the last days that they would give heed to these seducing spirits. And in that heed, they would depart from the faith. Jude tells us, and this is something the Lord, I remember old Brother Riggs, and he used to pastor over in Lebanon, Kentucky. Elderly man, and when my husband and I were pastoring, we went over and saw Brother Riggs one time, and I asked him a question. I said, Brother Riggs, why aren't we seeing the things that we used to see when the church first started? He says, because, and he quoted this out of Jude chapter 1, he said, we need to contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. Do you know what it means to contend with the faith for the faith? It means to wrestle as with an adversary. Who is our adversary tonight? Honey, it's not me. It's not you. It's the devil. And he comes in such a way that he brings deceiving spirits. He brings wrong doctrine. And church, Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. Turning the grace of God, the mercy of God, into lasciviousness. What does that mean? It means into something filthy. It means full of other vices. In short, they're leaving this holiness that God has called us unto. Because the Bible says, without holiness, no man shall. Amen. Amen. We know the word, church. We've been raised on the word. But are we forgetting what the word is warning us about? We're in the last days. And there are teachers coming in now. There are preachers coming in now. Yes. That are bringing a new gospel. A new way. One in particular, you've probably heard it said about Oprah Winfrey. And I hope there aren't any Oprah Winfrey fans in here. But she's decided that Christianity needs to be rethought. We need to rethink this thing called Christianity, because she's learned that there's more than one way to heaven. She started her own church that's got, I don't know, multiple thousands following her. She's got her own priest. She's got her own preacher. And they preach this new gospel. And people are being taken in by this stuff. Not only that, but I was just seeing some news the other day. Talk about a defection from faith. Well, let me read in 2 Peter 2, 1 and 2. Peter also warned us here, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily, who secretly, who unawares, hearkening back to Jude, shall bring in damnable heresies. Those strong words, aren't they?
Yes.
Even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious way. That's a great big word, and most of us lost track of what it means. But it means a way that leads to ruin or loss. Pernicious. Say, Sister Erin, how am I going to guard myself? How am I going to know the truth? How am I going to know if someone's teaching me right or wrong? You got to get in the Word.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Study to show yourselves approved unto God.
Yes.
Hello?
Amen.
The Bible says rightly dividing the word of truth. If we don't read the Bible, if you're not a student of the word, you may not get in and look up definitions, but you can read the word so much that you become so familiar with it that when something crops up that's not right, the Holy Spirit of adoption will raise up and a red flag will be waving, and you'll know that you're not hearing right. You may not can quote chapter and verse, but you're going to know. Because that's a promise we have of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we need to know. And it says, and by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. Peter, in 1 Peter 5, 8 through 9, gave us a warning, church. This has been etched in my mind. He told us, he said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. The devil is trying to take our faith away from us. He's trying to tell us that you can live any way you want to, not this good holiness way that God has called us unto. He's trying to tell us that there's not going to be any rapture take place, that that is escapism, and we no longer have to look for the coming of the Lord. But if I was reading and studying, I was reminded of a scripture in Hebrews 9 and 28, and it said, unto them that look for him, he shall appear the second time. That word look for means to fully expect him to come back, church.
Yeah.
What's the danger of this realize it's too late because I've done been healed before. Instantaneously I've received healing for. So see, they come to you. They tried to tell me God don't fill the Holy Ghost anymore. They tried to tell me that's something that happened to me. Coming, it's going to change our lifestyle. Lord, thank you. A defection of the faith. I was reading something just the other day about spiritual transformation in one of our mainline Pentecostal churches. In a nutshell, what it's going to, they're having this general assembly, and they're going to teach their pastors how better to pray. And they're going to teach their ministers and their leaders that they are too addicted to words in their prayer life. That really all they have to do is just say little three or four word phrases, block out everything out of your mind, just concentrate on that great stillness. What does that sound like? But I will read something that this teacher said. And church, you say, well, that won't happen to us. Really? It could. It could. I just heard of a church of God, and I again, I won't call a name, just the other day, because if I hear anybody shouting in my church, I'm going to set you down. But it can't happen to us, can it? Okay. It says, just the other day, I ran across the article from one of our mainstream Pentecostal churches. It was the schedule for their general assembly coming up this summer. In that schedule, they had a speaker that's going to teach their pastors a better way to communicate with God. This teacher was taught in the Shalem Institute for Spiritual Formations. And what do they believe? It's a perversion of Christianity. It's this mystical stream, and I'm holding my hands like this on purpose, this mystical stream, contemplative prayer, they said, is the western bridge to far eastern spirituality. It's no accident that the most active frontier between Christian and eastern religions today is between contemplative Christian monks and their eastern equivalents. This teacher that they have coming in said a few years ago, they said, I began to recognize an inner chaos in my soul. They said, no matter how much I prayed, no matter how much I read the Bible or listened to good teaching, I could not calm the internal roar created by questions with no answers. The Bible couldn't give them no answers. Prayer couldn't give them no answers. Hello. So, I sought out a spiritual director, one well-versed in the ways of the soul. Eventually, this wise woman said to me, what you need is stillness and silence so that the sediment can settle and the water can become clear. I decided to accept this invitation and move beyond my addiction to words. You know what? A lot of people would never recognize the danger in that. Never. But it's out there. And if you don't make yourself a student of the Word, that Holy Spirit will rise up inside of you and you hear those warning bells start going off, you will fall for this. That's just one of many. Also, the Bible talks about that in the last days they'll be denying the Lord Jesus. Anybody ever heard of the naked archaeologist? Now that means naked truth, in case anybody's wondering. Well, I thought he was an awful good, learned man. I enjoyed listening to him, but he made a startling discovery the other day, a few months ago. He claims to have found the family tomb of Jesus. And not only Jesus, but of his wife and of his children. And he says he doesn't understand what the uproar is all about. He said, does that make him any less pure a man? And I'm thinking, honey, no wonder you don't understand. He was much more than a man. Hello? Church, people are listening to this. The Bible also said that there would be mockers. Well, I won't tell you what Hollywood has put out. Now listen, again, you say, well, I am well versed in the scripture. I'm mature in the Lord. I know to watch for these things. But there's a lot out there that don't know to watch for these things. In the Hollywood movies, they're one of their main themes now is the end of world scenarios. Cataclysmic happenings. A parody of life after the rapture, where so-called righteous people will be taken off the earth, leaving the sinners to face the wrath of God and invasion of demons from hell. Church, these people, our children are watching these things. In this last day scenarios, one of it was earth is annihilated after aliens destroy the moon, giant robot battle monsters, and then there's a comedy take on the biblical rapture. Someone tell me what's funny about being left behind. And it said mortals are left behind to deal with atheists and spirits. A New Zealand director has created a movie called Rapture Palooza, a quirky comedy out on limited theatrical release in June, this June. It follows a young couple after the rapture has taken the religious masses to heaven and left the atheists among zombies and demons and the Antichrist. He said the film very much embraced the idea of the apocalypse at the end of your driveway. He said there's something quite charming about the domesticness and simplicity of it. The subject is ripe for comedy, he says. Ultimately, I wanted the film to be a really distinctive and nuts movie to resonate with the ludicrous nature of the Bible's book of Revelation. Lord, help us. Again, 2 Peter 3 and 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers, mockers. Lord, help us. Follow along. The Bible says that the day of the Lord is foretold. Again, to our text, 2 Peter chapter 3, skipping up to verses 9 and 10. It says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Verse 10 says, but the day of the Lord will come, as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. But the day of the Lord will come. People think that God's forgotten all about us. People think that since they've heard it all their lives, that and listen, again, what the Lord laid on my heart. We always tend to think of sinners and the rest of the world, the ones that don't believe. But God brought it right back, right down to the church. We don't really believe that Jesus is coming soon. We really believe that things will continue as they always have. And that is a pitfall if we're not careful. You don't even realize that you're thinking that. Come on. Amen.
Let's be honest. Let's not just, don't get your halos down. Get your righteous indignation back under control. And just check and see, is the belief that Jesus is coming soon changing your lifestyle? Amen. Amen. Is it? Lord, help us. They say that the Lord is tarrying. I'm thinking, I was reading this about Noah. God's warning went out, but only Noah and his family found grace in the sight of God. You know, I'm going to tell you something that my elders used to teach us. They used to teach us that, you know, during that time there was only 8 souls saved. And I heard it said that that would be a percentage. Now, there's probably more people in the earth now than there was then. It's something to think about. The Bible said that, if I can quote right, wide is the way and broad is the gate that goes to destruction, and many there be that find it, but narrow is the way and straight is the gate that leads to everlasting life, and few there be that find it.
Amen.
Are we going to be with the few, or are we going to be with the many?
That's right.
The many is the easy way to go.
That's right.
It means I can watch. Oh, Lord, help me. I can watch my questionable movies. I can listen to my, now this is where I'm really going to get my honky-tonk music that says I can cry tears in my beard. And I'm beyond that now. And it ain't just, probably. Is that belief in Jesus coming soon changing your lifestyle? Genesis 6:3 says, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his day shall be 120 years. I've heard a lot of discussion what that meant. But could it have been the time left to deal with man? It says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. And Noah walked with God.
Amen.
I tend to think that the 120 years, this is an example of God's mercy. His long suffering is that he dealt with those people even as they ridiculed Noah. The Bible called him a preacher of righteousness. So that tells me he preached during that time. But also in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 20, it said the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is 8 souls, were saved by water. I tend to think God is so merciful, Brother Wimmer. But even though it took that 120 years that he dealt with mankind, he kept putting that message. Listen, I've heard people, and I'm not following this, but they say this is the time that this good message has been going out, that the time that Jesus is coming again. They told me, church, that it's been approximately 120 years. I don't know. Is there any similarity between the time that God dealt with the people during the time of Noah and the way he's dealing with us? If so, is time running out? I believe time is running out, church. I believe that we need to be ready. Now, if I can redirect you back to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. This is what chilled me. It said, for this they willingly are ignorant of. It means they chose to ignore it. They chose to forget it. That by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. Lord, they didn't believe, but it happened anyway. They said they'd never seen it. Hello. Noah's message was that there's coming a flood. Prepare for it. They made fun of him because they said, we've never seen a flood. The Bible said during that time there was a mist that rose up and watered the earth. They didn't know what rain was, but God said it was coming. They didn't ever have to have seen it before. God said it was coming. Well, I'm telling you, God said that there's going to come a time when that eastern sky is going to be split. Jesus is coming back. It says he's going to take his own to meet him in the air. But you know what? We've got an advantage over those people because they never seen rain. But we've got incidences in the Bible that people, hello, the Bible said Enoch walked with God and was not because God took him. If that ain't a rapture, what is? I'm telling you, Jesus is coming. The world can mock it. They can say that we're simple-minded, that we're ignorant people because we believe such an outdated book. But I'm telling you, if God said it, it's going to happen, and he did say it. Jesus is coming. There are warning signs that are going out throughout the whole world, the whole church world. One of the main books anymore is called The Harbinger. Has anybody ever, and I know you all read The Harbinger. Anybody read? It's this messianic pastor, Jonathan Cahn. God has given him a message about Isaiah 9:10 of what's getting ready to happen, the judgment that's being poured out on the United States. But people are not listening to that. If they were, they'd be getting ready today.
Amen.
We have, and I brought this out before, it's something the Lord laid on my heart a while back. Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 5, tells the story of the 10 virgins. I've heard it preached and I've heard it taught, and I have never been able to just really be at ease with the way it was taught until now. And how many know that when God shows you something, it don't matter? I mean, I'm not saying they're wrong, but I'm saying it's rested in my soul now. So it says, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise, 5 of them were foolish. Church, they were all virgins. They were all chaste. How many know that's what we're called to be? Hello? We're called to be chaste virgins for the Lord. These were all virgins. But the Bible said there were 5 foolish and there were 5 wise. And said they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. As I began to look into the meaning and pray about this parable, it says they that were foolish. You know what the meaning of that means? It means heedless, not paying attention, not listening. The foolish virgins, they were all virgins, but they weren't paying attention. They were waiting for the bridegroom, but they weren't prepared. Oh, they believed he was going to come, but they didn't think he was coming tonight. They were heedless. They weren't paying attention. And said the wise, you know what that means? It means they were cautious. I tell you, he didn't come last night, but now he could very well come tonight.
Amen.
And they were prepared for the coming of the Lord. Church, I'm not saying we're not Christians here, but I'm asking us, what category are we falling into?
Amen.
Are we falling into the foolish category? The warnings are going out, but we're saying it's things are continued, that we've heard warnings all our life. Nothing has happened. There's just nothing's taking place. It's going to continue on. So we just go ahead and live our life, or are we going to be like the wise said? He might seem like he tarried, but he's got an appointed time. In fact, it says, and while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. While they tarried, it seemed to the virgins that he was tarrying. But can I tell you, he wasn't. He knew when he was coming back. I tell you, I've always said, there's got to be that last hour, Sister Wimmer. There's got to be that last 5 minutes, that last 60 seconds before the trumpet sounds. Somewhere, that's going to happen. Are we going to be ready? I noticed it said when they slumbered and slept, that was something else that bothered me also. And I began digging a little deeper into what the meaning was. To slumber meant they fell asleep. And slept meant they rested. How many know there's a rest for the children of God?
Amen.
Hebrews 10 and 36, 37 told us, and I think this fits right in with the 10 virgins. For you have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise for yet a little while. And he that shall come will come and will not tarry. There's an appointed time. Romans 13:11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to wake out of sleep. That is talking about being so asleep. It's like a spiritual hibernation. It is a state of not being active, of not having any energy, of not having any enthusiasm. Church, I hope and pray we don't fall into that category. That we're not five foolish virgins that have fallen asleep.
Amen.
Hello? Again, Hebrews said he's coming for those that are looking for him.
Yes.
Fully expecting him. We got to be careful. It is so easy to fall into that. Readiness for that great day. 2 Peter now, chapter 3, verses 11, 12, 14, 15, asks this question. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God? Wherefore, beloved, verse 14, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blemish, blameless, and account that the long suffering, can I say, and account that the seemingly tarrying of our Lord is salvation. Church, we need to find the old paths.
Amen.
We need to go back to our old paths of holy living,
yes.
Bible reading,
yes.
Seeking the Lord, prayer and fasting.
Yes.
Oh, I know that fasting's a bad word anymore. Forgive me, Lord, but I've done said it. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16 says, thus saith the Lord. Don't that just sound like something God would say? Thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. And ye shall find rest for your souls. What are the old paths? What does it mean? Find the old paths. There's so much in some of these words, church. The old path means an unused now, overgrown, beaten path that is an ancient pathway. And because there aren't enough people walking that pathway anymore,
come on.
It has become concealed.
Yeah.
I love digging in the Word. Brother Micah, you know me. I got to dig in the Word. So much comes out. Church, we need to once again walk those pathways. Because he's coming for a people that are holy.
Amen.
What are the old paths? I'm getting ready to close. Honest, guys. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14 will tell us how we ought to be living. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. I think that scripture, Brother Ted, pretty much sums it up, what God expects his people to live in this life now. If we'll be faithful, if we'll be looking for the coming of the Lord, if we'll be fully expecting it, in Malachi chapter 3, verses 16, something, this is something the Lord laid on my heart just shortly before we left Dunmore. And I remember praying one day. I remember right over in that corner. maybe that second bench back behind Brother Wimmer, praying and seeking the Lord about some things. And he gave me the scripture for us. It says, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another," speaking about this last day church, "and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him." Do we really believe Jesus is coming, church? Do we really believe Jesus is coming? Again, remember, we've got to be looking for him. As I look back over the book of Peter, I realize that even during that time, Peter was calling the church back to their consecration. He was warning them about false teachers and false brethren that would lead them astray, much like the days that we're living in now. He was encouraging them to remember the coming of the day of the Lord, be ready for it. We've got to stir ourselves up, church.
Amen.
We have fallen into a sleep. We have fallen into a hibernation. We have no energy. Hello? Because Jesus is coming soon. And will we be ready? Let's stand. As old timers used to say, Brother David, I feel like I have delivered my soul. Because I believe Jesus is coming soon. Brother Micah, I wouldn't teach something that I didn't believe. And I'm telling you, sometimes, church, Sister Betty, I step on my own toes. I step on my own toes. But I want you to know something. Sister Brenda, Jesus is coming for those that have made themselves ready. Are we ready? I'm thinking I counted no less than four times in the book of Second Peter where he said, "Stir up yourselves. Stir up yourselves." I wonder if anybody tonight, has this message helped anybody tonight? Has it spoken? I know it's probably different. But my prayer tonight is that it stirred up your pure minds by way of remembrance to be ready for the coming of the Lord. Because it doesn't matter your age, it doesn't matter how old you are, it doesn't matter how young you are, we're all going to have to stand before the Lord. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you, Lord, for what you have given us tonight. I believe, Lord, was from the very bottom of my heart that this message is of you. And I believe, Lord, Father, that there are those here tonight that you have stirred. Lord, we have to remind ourselves every once in a while, even though at one time we knew these things. Lord, let us be reminded tonight. I'm asking you to touch each heart. I'm asking you to speak to each heart here tonight, Lord. And help us, Lord, Father, to rededicate ourselves, reconsecrate ourselves to you tonight, Lord. Because I don't believe we have much time left. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the unction of your Holy Spirit. We give you the honor and the glory and the praise for all things. In Jesus' precious name and in light of his soon coming, praise God. Amen. I wonder if anybody tonight, Brother Ted, did you come? Anybody need prayer tonight?